Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Tuesday morning, 34 minutes after the hour. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. Let us know what you are thinking or if you want to respond to anything you are hearing about. We do appreciate the feedback. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. He's running for Lieutenant Governor in our neighbor to the east, Georgia, State Senator Burt Jones on the line with us. Burt, Senator, good morning. How are you?
Yes, sir. Hey, how are you doing, Jeff? It's good to be here with you, and appreciate you having me on today. Hope everything's well with you.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. I want to get you on here. Kind of give us a lay of the land. We're obviously next-door neighbors, and you look at Georgia, and you see two Democrat U.S. senators, a state that went for Joe Biden. You look at what's going on over there, and you wonder. I mean, you obviously wonder, could it happen here? But as far as you can tell, what do you think? It seems to me to be trending back in a Republican direction, and I was kind of curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we had a terrible situation take place here in the 2020 election cycle where we had two United States Senate seats that were on the line, they both those races went into runoffs after the November elections, where there were a lot of allegations that went on around the elections here in Georgia, particularly in Fulton County. Our Secretary of State, without legislative consent, went into an agreement with the Democratic Party during the November election cycles that allowed for all these drop boxes to be dispersed all over the metropolitan counties, and there was a lack of chain of custody, and there was a really lack of any kind of signature verifications that went on, and I think helped in those two United States senators winning in the election cycle, especially when we didn't have any kind of legitimate investigation into all the allegations that went on around the November election. So, but I think the current administration, the Joe Biden administration, is the best thing that could happen to the Republican Party. It's very unfortunate for the American people because of the inflation, the cost of goods and services, and the cost of living is going up, obviously, and just a few short months of him being in charge, you know, the cost of living has almost doubled in a lot of cases. And anyway, so if in the 22 cycle, I'm sensing that there's a lot of people with buyer's remorse, but there's also a lot of people that are engaged for the first time because of everything that went on that led to where we are today. So, but a lot of energy on the ground as we move around the state, campaigning for lieutenant governor position, and we feel like we got a lot of momentum. We also feel like that the party itself has a lot of momentum.
So, this isn't a long-term trend. That this was an anomaly, this was a blip, and that the Republicans that Georgia remains a red state.
I would agree with that. However, I mean, we're definitely not trending. I mean, we're definitely trending where it's a more competitive state. We'll say that. But I do feel like we still, as conservatives, hold a little advantage over the Democrats. However, like I said, we don't enjoy the same margins that we used to have here in this state, or somewhere like Alabama, even, you know. But but I do feel like the majority of the state is still leaning in the red column, and I think in the 22 cycle I think there'll be a red wave, not just here in Georgia, but in a lot of the areas around the country.
Now, you guys in the Georgia legislature, you did some things to really tidy up elections and you know, not have a influx situation, or try to mitigate as much as possible the possibility of a 2020 situation. Can you speak on that? I know there was a lot of pushback from the mainstream media, and Major League Baseball pulled the All-Star game away from Atlanta, but that overall, walk us through those reforms, if you would.
You know, yeah, we did do some reforms. I personally thought that we could have done more as far as, number one, identifying some of the really key issues that went on in the 2020 cycle that we did not do now. However, but we did do some things as far as make it, you know, made it, we definitely didn't make it harder to vote. That's one, I want to make that clear that we, you know, when you have 18, 19 days of early voting and you're asking, including weekend votes, and then you're just asking people to be out to, able to properly identify themselves with either a driver's license or a state-issued voting ID license, then that's, I don't think that is restricting anyone. You know, we did, we are going to limit the drop boxes that should have never been legal in the first place, but we are, you know, for the first, they were, had been illegal, but now for the first time, we're going to allow for drop boxes just at the precincts themselves, not scattered throughout different metropolitan areas. And we're, you know, we're no longer going to have no excuse absentees. We're going to have, you know, you've got to give a good reason why you as an individual cannot come in person to vote, you know, moving forward. So there were some measures that were good, and, you know, that I think were an improvement. But I still think it's, there's some other measures that we could do to help the earn the confidence back in a lot of people who were, you know, pretty put out with everything that went on in 2020.
Yeah. And then the country's kind of watching it, and it turned out, you know, I mean, what happened in Georgia really impacted, the entire country. And in some ways, I guess, particularly on the Republican side, that they welcomed these changes.
Yeah, I mean, you can easily make the case that the fate of the country or the situation of, you know, was all kind of depending on what was going to happen in Georgia, because you had, like I said, you were the only state that had two United States Senate seats on the line, and the power structure of D.C. was depending on what happened in Georgia. And, you know, when we lost those two Senate seats, you lost the ability to have any kind of checks and balances with this current administration. And so they're really, you know, there's really, and it's unfortunate. And I think that's another reason why there are so many people that are upset, because they realize what the circumstances and the consequences are of what happened in Georgia and the seemingly, you know, particularly the Secretary of State's office has stood by and let a lot of it go unchecked, you know, and actually defended some of his actions, which I find absolutely absurd. But at any rate, so yeah, so I mean, it's not something that I think a lot of us are proud of, the fact that you know, when Georgia was given a chance to be the last line of defense for the American people, you know, it was it didn't happen, you know. And so hopefully we'll take it back in 22 and get some checks and, like I said, checks and balances back in D.C.
Joined by Burt Jones, state senator in Georgia, also running for lieutenant governor in the Peach State. Senator, let's talk about the Georgia economy. I assume you're facing the same headwinds we are in Alabama, but it looks like inflation it is just at every corner of life, be it the store, the gas pump, all of that. And this is, I think, something that, you know, it's obviously a result of federal policy, but you guys at the state level are having to deal with it.
Sure. No question. I mean, you know, we're part-time legislators. as far as we're citizens legislators, so most of us have businesses that we have to go home to and everything, and I'm no different than a lot of the guys that serve here. I've got a small business, and labor, having labor issues, people showing up to work is an issue, to the cost of doing business is ever increasing, and I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, quite frankly. So we're having to, you're having to deal with that. You're having to deal with, like I said, the cost of goods and services is continuing to go up. I think our inflation, you've got products on delay right now, you know, so you've got delay issues in the products being able to get to you, the retail portion of your venues, and so it's a significant issue that is slowing your economy. You know, you saw what the economy could do 4 years under President Trump, where it was really just busting at the seams, and now we're in the polar opposite, where because of these supply chain issues, the inflation, everything, it's starting to slow the economy down, and you just wonder how long the economy can continue to you know, even maintain the level that is going right now with all these issues that are a direct reflection of the current administration and the policies that they're trying to implement right now.
And you know, that is going to that is going to show up at in the election coming up in November of next year. But I mean, how important is if Republicans get control, and I think you're going to see a red wave all over the country. But how important is it for Republicans to try to roll some of this back and at least produce some tangible results for people?
Well, I think that's what everybody is looking for. You know, I mean, you know, people are tired of politics as usual. People are tired of politicians making promises and then you know, not delivering on them. You know, I mean, the perfect example was that you know, when President Trump was in office, you controlled for the first 2 years. You controlled both the House and the Senate. And at the time, it was, you know, it was Obamacare that, you know, people were ready to get rid of, and we were unable to do that, as well as some other policies that were high on the agenda of then President Trump. So this is the Democrats right now being in charge, and of course, you know, they're having a fracture of their. You know, their more progressive wing is not happy with the more moderate wing right now, and so at any rate, so I guess you got it on both sides where not everybody is happy. However, when you've got the economy suffering or potentially suffering like it looks like it's headed, with the inflation being what it is, the labor issues you have, and the ability to get goods to the end users, I think people really want the United States to be energy independent. I think they don't want us to be dependent upon China and Saudi Arabia and these other countries for goods, services, or energy for that matter. So why we all of a sudden want to go from being totally independent, self-sustaining, or moving towards being self-sustaining to back to being dependent on foreign countries for labor, for energy, for whatever it might be. It's just that's insane. I think it's crazy, but it is the direction that this administration is going, and we ain't even started talking about the border issue yet. You know, which is another debacle that's going on right before our very eyes.
Well, so, we'll get you out of here on that. You know, the border policy, I think it impacts more than just these border states, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, but you know, illegal immigration mm-hmm. impacts the country as a whole. How is Georgia grappling with that?
Well, I mean, I will applaud our governor. You know, he went, he along with 10 other governors from around the country, went to go see Governor Texas, see what they could do to help with our National Guards and also our what few available troopers we might have that could aid in helping try to protect those borders there, because we've got a federal government that simply basically said come to the United States. Don't worry about being turned away. You just come on into our country, and we'll give you housing and medical care and schooling and everything else on the backs of our taxpaying citizens. So, which is crazy, and it's going to take the states banding together to help out states like Texas, states like Arizona with their border issue, because you cannot allow tens of thousands of illegal immigrants into the country and then disperse them into communities all over the country and expect the citizens to foot the bill for them. So I think it's something that we have an immigration system, a process where people can come here legally, and we need to enforce that. And we do welcome those who would like to come here legally, but there's definitely a process that each and every person ought to have to go through in order to come into this country, and that's not happening right now with this current administration.
Senator, we've got to leave it there, but you've been very kind to come on. Real quick, folks want to find out more about your campaign or any of that, tell them where to look.
Yeah, it was great to be here today. They can go to BurtJonesForGA.com, BurtJonesForGA.com. We'd love to have you come and check our website out. And if you'd like to get involved and volunteer in some capacity or another, love to have you join our team. And I greatly appreciate the opportunity to be with you here today, and look forward to seeing you sometime in the near future, Jeff, and I appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you making time for us. Burt Jones, state senator in Georgia, running for lieutenant governor, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.